Glory to God. We just thank God for you. We thank God for all that, each and every one of you and all that you do, all that you bring. And I'm not talking about financially, although we thank you for that too, people being supportive in this time. But I'm talking about all that you bring in the Spirit, the supply of the Spirit, the love, the surrounding each other with friendship and being brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's, you know, as I look out there in the world, and I see what a lot of Christians are doing. Glory to God. I can just tell you, I was saying to my wife last night, I think we're pretty good. Amen. That doesn't mean that we can't be better, but I think we're doing pretty good. I mean, we have the greatest church in the world. We have the greatest Christians in the world that come to our church. And I don't mean that. I'm not just saying that. I'm not just pastoral fluff. Glory to God. But it is the truth. I see people that, there's people on TV that are Christians that you're like, how are they any different at all from the world? And the truth is that they're not. But I see people here week in, week out that are trying, that are continually trying to better themselves and better the kingdom of God. And I just want you to know that you need to be commended for it, that God is with you, God is for you, praise the Lord. And just keep plugging along, keep pushing through, praise the Lord, because God's got great things for us. This is the truth. This is the long-standing truth. It lasts forever, praise the Lord. It will continue and continue that God is good. He's for us. He's got a plan for us, and that plan is to prosper us, not to harm us, to give us a future and a hope. Amen. Glory to God. And so I'm just so thankful for that plan and that future. I'm thankful for all that God has for us. Praise God. Amen, amen. Well, praise God, I almost preached last night's sermon, amen. I looked down and I had that open, but we're going to preach this morning's sermon, amen. Today's sermon is called Do Not Enter at Your Own Risk, amen. Praise the Lord. Do not enter at your own risk. Of course, we've heard entering at your own risk, but we know that entering the things of God, that there isn't a risk involved, but there is a risk in not walking in what God has for us. And we want to make sure that we're doing that. We want to make sure that we're continuing on in the faith, we're continuing on into what God has for us. We're going to be preaching about faith today, or I'm going to be preaching about faith and the things of God as we usually do, because, you know, Jesus told Brother Hagin, teach my people faith, praise the Lord, and we know that the Bible says that the just shall live by faith, and so if you're going to live here, you need to live by faith, and so you need to know how to do that, amen? And so we're just going to continue on with the things, but God's got good things for us. He wants us to enter in. We need to enter in, and if we don't enter in, it's at our own peril. And so we need to know that we need to strive for the things of God. We need to strive for that place of, really, it's a place of blessing. You know, that's the manifestation for us, though that shouldn't be our focus, but the manifestation of God's, the placement of God's will in our lives is a place of blessing. It's where we'll be the most full of joy, the most at peace, the most full, the most prosperous in all things. And so we want to make sure that we're in the plan of God. We want to make sure that we bring ourselves continually to that point. Amen. So without further ado, let's get into scripture. Isaiah 26:3. We're going to start here as a life verse for myself. Amen. And it should be a life verse for you too. Praise the Lord. This verse is worth meditation. It's worth study. Glory to God. It's worth all that we can give it. Amen. Because it is just continually reaching us. Amen. Hallelujah. Isaiah 26:3, and it says here, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Praise the Lord. Faith in the heart of man always leads him to do. Amen? Always does. Praise the Lord, when you can ride a bike, when you know how to ride a bike, once you've learned how to do that, it's not hard to get on. You don't even think about it, do you? You just get on that bike and you go. I remember each one of my kids, as I taught them how to ride bikes, it was real interesting to get them on there. And I knew that they could do it. I knew, and I would tell them the same thing. I didn't know much about the physics of riding bicycles, but I told them all the same thing. I'm like, you get on and you keep pedaling. It's like, if you stop pedaling, you're going to tumble over, but you get on and you keep pedaling. Amen. And of course, I would run behind them and I would hold onto the seat. That was their training wheels at first. And I would hold onto the seat and guide them. And as soon as I thought that they were going pretty good, I would let go of them. And sure enough, they would ride. And then once they saw that they could ride and not fall, they continued to ride further and further and further until pretty soon you couldn't even keep them at home anymore. They were just riding their bikes nonstop. Amen. And so so faith is a lot like riding a bike. You know, when we first come in to know God, we're testing the waters. We're like that kid. We're getting on because we want to ride. Amen. But we're not sure how far we can go. We're not sure if we're going to fall over. We're not sure if the laws of physics are actually going to work for us because we don't even know what the laws of the physics are. Amen. But we get on that bike and we go, and then God walks us through it. He stands with us. Amen. And he walks with us. And then when he sees that we're doing pretty good, he lets us go a little while. And then all of a sudden we see we're riding the bike and we're in faith. Praise the Lord. But that's a lot what this scripture is all about. It says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Now, that idea of keeping in perfect peace is interesting because it's not saying that God's going to sprinkle some kind of peace pixie dust. Glory to God. It's easy for me to say. He's not going to sprinkle some kind of peace pixie dust on us and make it just magically happen. But we know that the knowledge of the scripture is that when our mind is stayed on him and when our mind trusts in him, it automatically brings us to a place of peace. See, a lot of people that say, well, my mind has stayed on the Lord, but I don't have peace yet. And that's because you haven't built that trust. You know, notice at the end of the verse says, because he trusts in you. And so we see that trust works along with, or that faith is what that is, literally, works along with keeping our mind stayed on him. So it's not enough just to keep our mind stayed on him, but we need to believe and trust in him. We need to trust what he's doing. And then when we do trust God, when we put that out there and we start trusting God, the more that we do, the more peace enters our life because we just know. And I know this just from experience because I was a very troubled person. I was a person that had a lot of my own troubles, a lot of my own bad thoughts and constantly and still do at times. There's still lots of times where bad thoughts come to try to rob me from what the Word has promised me. But what does God always remind me to do? To put my mind and my heart on him. To get into his word, to get into prayer, and to reacquaint myself with him. Because as I'm acquainted with God, praise the Lord, the peace comes. That's when the answers come. That's when all the things I need comes. And so we need to strive for such things. When there's times in our life, and listen, you don't need a pandemic to tell you that there's trial. You can have trial just with a spouse. You can have trial with your kids. You can have trials with all kinds of things, even when you're serving God, even when you're doing good. Amen. Praise the Lord. There will be something that the devil will try to raise up to cause you trial or cause you trouble. But here's the thing. Our peace is not in those things. And we find out where our peace is in those times of trial. Because if your peace was in your job, then when you lose your job, you're not at peace. If your peace is in your spouse, well, then when your spouse is acting dumb, then you know, praise the Lord, there goes your peace, because that's where your peace was. But when your peace is in God, when your trust is in God, then no matter what happens, the peace will always be there, because he never fails us. He never leaves us. He's always ever present. Glory to God. And when we have that understanding, when we understand that God's always present and he's always working for us, praise the Lord, peace comes so much easier because it's already there. Amen. And so no matter what the trials. So again, if you're a person who is dealing with trials, if you're a person who is dealing even with the small things, even with the little trials, the little things that would come at you on a day-to-day basis. Listen, if you're getting troubled over them, if somebody says something to you and it troubles you, then this is what you have to know. That's where your peace is, or that's where your trust is. And so you need to, that's just a warning sign to you that you need to convert your trust and put it where it matters. Because when it's on God, it never matters what goes on around us. Amen. And what I mean by it never matters, I'm not saying that there won't be times of opposition and times where it most certainly will be big to us. But what I'm saying is that we'll always have that ability to get into peace in those trials. It doesn't mean that the trial is going to end right there. Listen, we're not guaranteed that the trial is just going to end after a few minutes or a few days or after a certain amount of time or anything. We're not guaranteed that the trials will end on our occasion or the occasion of the world or what would be beneficial to our bank account or to our jobs or anything. Sometimes the trials will seem to outlast all those things. But that is why it's ever more important to have our trust in God. Because even in those times, he will sustain us. He will uphold us. He will keep us going. Amen? You know, I think about in the Old Testament, when the Israelites, when they were in the wilderness or when they were in famine and all these things, they still suffered in the famine in the sense of they still dealt with the famine. They still had a lack of toilet paper. Amen? They still didn't have all the hand sanitizer they needed. Praise the Lord. They couldn't get all the supplies they normally could. One thing I found out that, you know, everybody's staying at home, and so there's no flour anymore in the stores because everybody's probably baking, and this is what's going to keep us all fat and happy, praise the Lord, or fat and sassy, as the one lady said. But glory to God. You know, but here's the thing. God will still sustain us. Hey, when the Israelites didn't have flour, he sent manna. And then, in other words, he didn't let them starve. And so in the times of trial, you may not have everything that you want. In the time of trial, you may not see the end to it instantly. But that's why we have to get, it's so important that we get our focus on God. If our focus is on those things, then that's where our trust, that's where but that's where our hope is going to be. And it's not a good place to have it when it's failing. Amen. You know, I want to stay on this for a minute because I want to help you. I really want to help you get this and get the understanding of what's going on here. We need to get our hope in the right place. We need to get our expectations in the right place. Amen. You cannot have expectations of people. People will always fail you. You can't have expectations of me. I will fail you. If you put your expectations and your hope in God. Amen. Now, as it pertains to it, it means, well, we still have to deal with people. Sure, you still have to have a pastor and still honor that office and things like that, just as I do. But how we do that is we do that prayerfully, especially if it was wrong, amen? Now, I assure you we're not being wrong right now. We're doing good, amen, at being right, or at least the best that we know how. And so that's beneficial to us all. But there are times out there where people are called to certain places, and those people that they are called to serve are not the best people to be even serving. But here's the thing. Your hope, your trust needs to be in God, not that person, amen? Amen. So I'll reiterate that when things are coming against you, when you're feeling the press, when you're feeling the trial, you need to turn to the one who has the answer, not the thing that you think has the answer. Amen. Because your job is not the answer. Your paycheck is not the answer. Praise the Lord. Again, that doesn't mean that we shun these things. It doesn't mean that we lay them down and take them lightly. Of course not. That is not what the Bible is directing. The Bible is directing us to live in this world and to do things according to the natural. But while doing so, amen, while doing so, we trust in God because it's his methods that get us through. Praise the Lord. You need to ask yourself, is this the path I'm going on? If it's the if this is the path that you're supposed to be on, then it's time to ride. Amen. It's time to ride that bike and to just keep going. It's time to get on, you know, and you don't stop until God tells you to stop. You get on that path, you get on that bike, and you keep riding, and you just go, 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 go. You run, Forrest, run. Amen. You get to the other side. You go until God tells you to stop. You just keep going. Amen. There will be things that will try to stop you. I will tell you, the measure of your faith is when those things that try to stop you in life start hindering you. When those things start slowing you down, when those things start getting you to back off, to turn away from God, to start relaxing your faith and quitting, when it's effective at that, then it's being effective at what the devil has intended it to do and not effective in according to what God wants us to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so I'll tell you this, that we can stand, we always can stand because God has given us the ability to stand. So no matter, well, let me say this again, no matter what it looks like out there, I don't care if your jobs are being attacked. I don't care if your home finances are being attacked. I don't care. I mean, you follow the Lord. If you need wisdom on what to do, then you seek God and he'll show you exactly what to do. If you say, well, I don't have any money and I don't have any food, well, then you need wisdom on what to do, don't you? Praise the Lord. So you start seeking God and God will show you a way. He will take you. He always does. He will always feed his people if they reach out to him. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we know God is good. He's always taking care of us. So even if it doesn't look, you know, and I know what it is, like what it is too. I mean, we have an American lifestyle, don't we? One of the things that I've been accustomed or woken up to is just how much of an American lifestyle Americans have. We are full of it. Amen. And I've been saying this for years, but even the poor in this country do pretty good. And that is the absolute truth. By and large, I'm not saying that there's no poor out there that are completely without, but I'm just saying that we are spoiled people. As I see it, I believe 100% that America is the Laodicean church. And if you don't know what that is, read about that in Revelations 3. Amen. It tells us all about the Laodicean church. It wasn't a good church to be. That wasn't the church that God intended. And, you know, there's so many things that come with that. There's so many things out there that we are doing, that we do wrong as Americans because we live a lifestyle. Not, you know, God wants us blessed, but we've taken it too far. And what I mean by that we've taken it too far is we've become reliant and dependent on that lifestyle, that when that lifestyle is upset, then we think it's the end of the world. A lot of people just think, well, if I can't have all the things that I want when I want them, then God isn't blessing me anymore. But that couldn't be further from the truth. Listen, if you're in a time of tight, that doesn't mean that it's not God. God is a God of provision. But God will allow you to go through periods of times where there is lack just to see if you'll trust him. And I'm just going to tell you right now that if you don't learn to trust him in those times, you'll go through them more. You'll go through them longer. They will last longer. They will have more effect because you need to learn to trust God. If you are troubled about money, if you are troubled about riches, if you are troubled about jobs, then that is what your faith is. Your heart is not on God. Your heart is on those things. And I'm just telling you, I'm not rebuking you. I'm just telling you because it's the truth. It's the way that it is. I have had my eyes open to it many times, even in this time period, where I thought, man, I was in faith. I was standing against this stuff. But the truth was, is I wasn't. The truth was, is I was relying on the extras that I had. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. So I'm not just preaching to you. I'm preaching to me, but God will keep us in perfect peace if our mind is stayed on him, if our focus is on him, if our heart trusts in him. That's when peace comes. Amen. So if you are a person who is upset today, have a lack of peace, you need to get your focus on God. Amen. Praise the Lord. How do you get your focus on God? Well, the first place I would go is I would turn to God and I would say, Lord, I need my focus on you. And I realize that. See, I'm just that simple that I'm just that open with God. Whatever it is I need to talk to him about, that's what I talk to him about. I don't beat around the bush. I don't try to, you know, convince him because he knows everything anyways. Amen. So I don't try to convince him of my side. I just say, I go to him plainly, just like I would come to you. And I say, Lord, this is all I know. This is what I know. This is where I'm at. And I don't know if I'm thinking wrong or I'm thinking right. But if I'm thinking wrong, show me. If I'm thinking right, then show me. And then tell me how to deal with this. I literally go to God like that. And I guarantee you that if you go to God like that, he will come. And you believe that he'll answer you. He will come to you every single time, and you will get the answers you need and the direction you need. Amen? Praise the Lord. So are we going to continue to ride? I believe we are. Amen. Hebrews 4. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to Hebrews 4. I was in some study in Hebrews this week, and just getting some good things. You know, I tell you often when I've spent time with my pastor, and not every time, but I tell you often, and I got to spend some time with my pastor this week, and praise the Lord, we just had such a wonderful time, and you know, we just conversed. You know, the thing is, I say this all the time, I say it for your benefit, but when I'm with my pastor, what I want out of my pastor is I want the spiritual things. We have a friendship, so to speak, that there's a lot of lighthearted, but I can tell you that probably 90% of every conversation I have with my pastor is based around the word in some form. And I tell you this to help you, because if you meet with me and all we talk about is the weather, if all we talk about is you, praise the Lord, if all we talk about are the things that aren't of any substance, you know, just the things that are going on or the government or whatever, then it's not going to do you any good. It's not going to benefit you. The reason I get so much out of my pastor is because I put a demand on that office. And I tell you that because it will help you. I am not trying to build my own kingdom. I certainly don't want people to necessarily follow me or to come after me. But God has placed me here for a reason, to help you. And so if you want to receive from that, if you want to reap from that, then you need to reap from that. But it won't happen. Don't just come, you know, I remember a young man, a friend of mine, when he was in the early stages of mentoring with Pastor Michael, he went to him and they thought they'd be slick. They didn't have any questions. So they just said, Pastor, we just want you to pour into our lives. So just tell us anything that's on your heart. And they got a tongue lashing and a rebuking for that, because that is not a person who's hungry. A person who's hungry comes ready to eat. Amen. And so if you're ready to eat, when you come to church, you'll get fed. If you're ready to eat, when you come to a meeting with me, you'll get fed. Praise the Lord. And I've had that happen. I've had many people that just know how to tap in, and we'll be sitting there and they'll tap in, and instantly, because they come hungry, instantly we'll get into a flow, and half the time I'll sit there and say, man, I wish I recorded that, because I'd like to preach that. I'd like to remember that, to preach on that, amen, because it was helping me too, amen. And so that's just a flow that'll help you. But, you know, I was with my pastor. We were talking about so many things. And man, there's just so much balance that comes when you connect to the man of God that God has connected you with, or the woman of God that God has connected you with. And you know, we just, there's so much that I got out of that, amen. But we're gonna, and inevitably, a lot of this is going to come out of that as well. But we're gonna start here in Hebrews 4:1, amen. And we're gonna see some truths in the Word. Praise the Lord! What God wants us to get into here. Amen. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. And so the very first thing that we start off with here is God talking about, or is Paul talking about God's rest. Now, there's different ideas of who may have written Hebrews, but we believe that it's Paul. Amen. But that's free, no charge if you don't. Well, then just forget that I said Paul, and we'll move on from there, because the Holy Spirit ultimately was in charge of it. Amen. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest. So there's a promise of entering God's rest that remains. And we see in context here, of course, he's referring back to the Israelites when they were told to enter into God's rest. But one of the things that we knew is that they were to enter God's rest here. Everybody got to understand that. That God wanted us to enter his rest here while we're on earth. That rest, that word rest, although it may be a different word, it's the same idea as peace. Because in perfect peace in perfect rest you have peace, and in perfect peace you have rest. And so the two things work together. They're symbiotic, or they work together. They come together for the good in your life. Amen. And so God wants you to be in peace. He wants you to be in rest. Amen. And so how do we mean rest? Do we just mean, well, man, I got after my kids a little bit for sleeping in too much. You know, in these times of pandemic, it's easy to sleep till 11 o'clock or noon or something like that. And I'm like, that's not productive. We can't do that. But at the same time, later on, maybe you'll take a nap. Well, what's the difference? Well, there's a big difference, because there's a difference when you get up and you get ready for the day. It's just like when you come to church. When you come to church and you come to church ready to receive. You don't just come to church, oh, I'm at church again, but I come ready to receive something, amen, you will reap more out of that. And we understand that about even in the day. We could be lazy. We could just lay around and stay up all night and sleep all day. But that's not the will of God either. We understand, and I've learned that over the years, that it's just not good. And I'm not saying, I mean, we all have times where we fight these things, but we have to keep, there's a difference between, somebody directing you and telling you something that needs to be worked on, and doing things just completely wrong. You know, because you can work on things and still not be completely right, but have the right heart about it. Or you can be with the wrong heart and be into something and be doing it wrong. And so that's why I said to my kids, like, listen, we need to get up and start, you need to get your day going. You can't just sleep all day, because that is never anybody who is successful in life will tell you right now, they did not get successful by sleeping all day. Why do I say that? It's not a rebuke to my kids. I've already rebuked them. Praise the Lord. But I would guarantee that there's other people out there that deal with the same things. Depression will cause you to do that. And so we have to stand up against these things. Listen, I know, like, keeping a car clean, keeping your bedroom clean, making your bed, things like this. These all sound like little things. But these little things, they will fight you day to day. And some people don't. My wife, it's just she kicks into gear and she just goes through the house like a hurricane and cleans up everything. That's the way she does things. But with people like me, I don't do that necessarily. It fights against me. But I know that it's better if I do. So I always put effort towards that. Although I'm not always perfect at it. That's why God gave me the wife he did. Because she is perfect at it. And so when I'm not perfect at it, she's supplementing. But that doesn't give me the excuse to not do anything. Amen. And so I'm constantly working at these things. And so we need to constantly work at bettering ourselves. Amen. But I don't know how I got on all that. It has nothing to do with, well, it does have to do with rest. Because if your home is in chaos, if your vehicle's in chaos, if your life is in chaos, then guess what? You won't be at rest. You won't be at peace. You will not be. If you came into this church And we had stuff laying all over the place. We just had garbage laying around, and there was ceiling tiles that were broken and leaking. And there was you know, this broken and that broken, and there was clothes laying there. And it looked like somebody, a teenager's bedroom, praise the Lord. And I'm speaking to all of you now, praise the Lord. But if you walked into this church like that, you would not be able to receive the same. I said, you would not be able to receive the same. And I'll tell you why. Because God does not work in an environment. God does not. I'm going to repeat this. And I'm going to repeat this with as much boldness as I can muster right now. God does not work in a place of chaos. He never does. He never will. God does not reside in a place of chaos. God is a God of order. He cannot stand chaos. In fact, we see back there in Genesis, the very first thing he did with chaos is he put it in order. He cleaned up. He cleaned house. And so if you are a person that lives, I am a person who naturally lives in chaos in my own natural ways. My cars used to be full of junk. My house used to be full of junk. When my wife first met me, praise the Lord, she said I had tools in every room of my house. Just stacks of tools, piles of stuff everywhere. And like, those things aren't so. Those things can't be that way. And of course, she helped me with that, but I'm just telling you, it's just the truth. If you want to hear from God, but your life is a mess, you're not going to hear from God. I'm just going to tell you, it's not me being, this is not a Pastor Jeff soapbox. This is the absolute truth. Look at the word on it. Praise the Lord. There's so much in the word on it. Amen. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. It'll help you. I believe it will. So that's the first thing. If your house is disordered, you know, Reverend Tony, I call him my dad, praise the Lord. And he calls me son. I love it. We have this great relationship like that. But he recently preached in Jamestown. And one of the things that he said that always, always, always speaks to me, always stands out to me, and it convicts me. Amen. And I love that it convicts me. You know what? A message that doesn't convict you is not a message that's worth anything. Yeah. You know what I mean by that? If a message doesn't correct you and make you want to do better, that's not worth anything. But anyways, one of the things he said is he's like, start your day off by making your bed. He said, when you start off your day, you're making your bed, you start off with an accomplishment. And you know, there's something about that, that there's absolute truth in, and I found it. My wife loves it when I make the bed. Now, especially lately, I haven't been real good at making the bed, but I'm going to get better at it. I promise, babe. I've been resistant to do it. Why? Because you just see it, and you're just like, I just don't want to do it. You just, you know what I mean? But see, but there's some spiritual wisdom in that, and I just can't explain it any better than that. When you go through, I know this, that when our house, when my wife is insistent, when we go somewhere, like if we go on a vacation or something, or if we go on a ministry trip or something like that, that before we leave, she is almost obsessive about cleaning the house before we go. But you know something? Every single time we come home, it's like walking into peace. You can feel it, can't you? It's tangible when you walk into the house. When we walk into our bedroom and the bed is like a guy in the military made the bed. The sheets are all nice and tight and the pillows are all arranged. It just feels good. It feels like you're in a place. Now listen, don't let this get you. I know that we have some young mothers in the church and stuff like that, praise the Lord. And I know that you go through different things. Listen, you do your best you can. You're in a different battle, and you take those things. And I have to say that because we always have to preach both sides to the message. Amen. Sometimes there's time periods where things are harder, and you know, husbands of course have to help with this stuff too in these time periods. But you know, don't if you're in a place like you're taking care of a baby, and that baby is sleeping all day and awake all night, and you know, stuff like that. You can't get down on yourself for not keeping everything perfect. God will speak to you in that place. Amen. Because God is merciful too. What I'm talking about is somebody who's being lazy. What I'm talking about is somebody who is resisting it because they just don't want it. I am not talking about somebody who has legitimate reasons. Obviously, if a hurricane came through or a tornado came through your backyard and messed everything up, you go, well, great, God's not going to talk to me now. Yeah, baby's the same thing. We used to call our nickname for Ezra when she was born, when she could walk, actually. When she started walking, our nickname for her was Hurricane Jane, because it's just what she was. She would go through a place, when she could walk, she would go through a place that was previously clean, and she could instantly add to it. I don't know, she was pulling stuff out of nowhere and just adding it to it. But that's what toddlers can do. We all know that. Amen? Praise the Lord. So hope that's good balance for you. Praise the Lord. But we do our best. Amen? But there's a promise of entering rest. And it says here, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. In other words, if we're not entering rest, that's a cause for alarm. That's a cause to wake us up. That's a cause to say, hey, wait a minute. I'm not at rest. Something is wrong. Let me say this again. If you are not at rest, you can't just look at it like, oh, why am I at rest? I wish I was at rest. No, you have to look at it like something is off. Something is wrong. There is a disconnect between me and my Heavenly Father, because if my mind was stayed at Him, I'd be in perfect peace. And because there is no rest here, there's a reason for that. And so I need to get to the bottom of it. Amen? Praise the Lord. It needs to be major to us, much more major than just not liking not being in rest. You know what I mean? Like, see, here's the thing. Some people just don't like the consequences of things, but some people don't want to be right. You know, there's a difference between just not like I could go to the store and steal something. Praise the Lord. But if I go to the store and steal something and I get caught, you know, I might not, you know, there's various reasons for people doing that. Some people might not do it because they don't want to get caught. I don't want to do it because I don't want to bring a mark against the body of Christ. I don't want to do it because because it would hurt my Heavenly Father, even if nobody else saw it. See, this is why we don't sin, because nobody else might be seeing it, but our Heavenly Father does. And so when we know that, we got to get our heart right, we have to understand to have the right heart. It's not just you're upset because you got caught or because you were wrong. You're upset because something was off. And so we need to understand that when our lives are off, God doesn't want your life off any more than you want your life off. And so if your life is off, you know what I'm saying? If there's a time in your life where something's not right, maybe you can't even put your finger on it. That's not God's will. And in fact, so much so, the opposite of it being God's will, that there's something wrong and God's pointing to you. It's a warning sign. Actually, what I've realized recently is the anxiety that we feel, the reason, you know, God gave us all the emotions and all the ability to feel that we have. And yet we're told in the Bible not to be anxious. But see, I never put the connection together until just recently, until I saw, wait a minute here. God gave us the ability to feel anxious. He gave us that ability for a reason, not so we would embrace the feeling of being anxious, but so when we felt anxious, it would be a warning sign to us that something was off so we could get it right. Yeah. Amen. Did I say that clear enough? Praise the Lord, because in my mind, I can see it, and I just want to make sure that I portray it clear enough. That people, God has given us the ability to be anxious, but that doesn't mean we're to live in anxious. Anxious is a warning sign. How many people are thankful if they're driving down the road and they see a bridge out sign? Amen? But wouldn't you be mad if nobody put up the bridge out sign? You know what I've been noticing people have been doing lately around here is they've been spray painting bright yellow around potholes. What are they doing? Somebody inevitably hit that pothole, got mad, and got out and, you know, got spray paint and said, hey, listen, or maybe the township did it, said, this is where we got to fix or whatever, but they marked it so nobody else would see it, so nobody else would hit it, and so they take care of it. It's a warning sign. We're thankful for warning signs, amen? Praise the Lord. But a warning sign is not, you know, when I see a warning sign, certain warning signs, like if, praise the Lord, we didn't see any warning signs, but we got one, and I was thankful for it. We were down visiting my wife's cousin, lives down in Virginia. Praise the Lord. And as we were down there, we decided we were going to go to the Chesapeake Bay, and we wanted to go step into the ocean a little bit because we hadn't been to the ocean in a while, you know, and that's salt water there. It's not the ocean, but it's close enough. And so we wanted to go down there and step into the water, you know, and go to a beach. I think it was too cold to swim, but we were just going to go down there. And we were down there, and we couldn't quite find, because the way where we were going, the area we were going in, it wasn't just an open beach access. You had to find a way. And so we stopped at a local store, and I said, hey, I was like, I guess we could swim in it. It was warm enough to swim, because the guy had talked to me about that. But the clerk at the store, I said, do you know how to get to the Chesapeake Bay from here? He said, yeah, absolutely. You go this way, this way, this way. He said, but you don't want to go in. And I'm like, well, why? Well, see, I wasn't local, so I didn't know. But the jellyfish had come in. And it was a time period where it was like, and they were small enough where you wouldn't have just automatically seen them. In fact, I know what I would have done. We would have got to the beach, and we all would have run right out there. But literally every few feet in the water was a small jellyfish. And on the beach, and that wouldn't have been, and of course, we weren't accustomed to those things. What was that? Was a warning sign. Now, the warning sign was inhibiting me. The warning sign was keeping me from doing something I wanted to do, which was just that, run into the water. But the warning sign protected me from doing that. So I don't resist the warning sign. I see it and I say, ah, there's a warning. So now I need to watch out for something. And so that's just what this warning sign is for us. When we have anxiety, now the devil will manipulate anxiety and try to use it against you. So not all your anxiety, if you're a person, I was a person who dealt with bad anxiety, with the manipulated anxiety. And how does that come? Just so you know. I mean, I'm not getting everywhere I want to go, but I know that I'm in the flow of God right now, so we're just going to follow it. But the way anxiety works is this, because I really want to explain this to you, because we all suffer and deal with this at some point. But the way the devil gets in is he always manipulates something that is God-given. The devil is a counterfeit. He has nothing on his own, so he always manipulates something God-given. For example, we know that in life, you know, God has given, he's blessed the marriage bed. He's given us the ability for husbands and wives to come together in an intimate way, which is a wonderful blessing. But how does the devil manipulate it? He's gotten people to sell it, and he's gotten people to partake with people that don't even, that they don't even know half the time, you know, and people are doing this, and this is not God's will. That's a manipulation of it, and that causes death. That causes anxiety. So what happens is the devil will manipulate something and cause us to start going down a road of taking, maybe we'll take a thought that we shouldn't have taken, and that anxiety will grow a little bit, and then it becomes a part to a place where it becomes a trait. I'm going to use an example. Mom, I hope you don't hate me. I know you're out there listening. We'll love you, but I know that you, this will help people, and I know that you'll be okay with it. But my mom used to be one of the most anxious people that I knew. We could not leave my mom's house without her being like, oh, be careful when you go. She was always afraid something was going to happen. And I think she was probably raised this way too. This doesn't mean they were bad people. It just means that they, something had gotten manipulated. See, sometimes the devil can manipulate good people. Actually, most of the time the devil manipulates good people. A lot of the church is manipulated to do wrong. We've seen a lot of Christians choosing to do this, but I'm not going to get too many stories going at one time, so we'll go back to this. But my mom, she always had the saying, we always used to joke about it, be careful going home, watch for deer. Be careful going home, watch for deer. She would say it every time, because it surely, as we left the house, we were going to hit a deer. That's what she was assured of. Now, as many times as we left her house and didn't hit deer, you couldn't count. The times that we did, you could count, amen. In fact, I think it happened to me one time in that time period. But my mom was a nervous wreck about things. She was always assured that there was going to be some kind of horrible accident or some kind of death. There was no faith. But when my mom started coming to church and started getting faithful, she hooked up to the Word. She started grasping the Word of God. And she said, yes, this is truth. And she started accepting it. And what I saw in my mom over the years was I saw that manipulation start to wean and start to fade to the place where she doesn't worry about anything. There was an example when my mom is a spiritual woman. She prays in the spirit. She, does her best to follow God and just a wonderful woman of God. And an example to many, praise the Lord, just like my wife. But one of the really interesting things was when I went to Brazil, my mom woke up in a panic a little bit, like I think is what she said it was nervous about the flight or whatever. And she started praying. I hope I got the story exactly right. I might have gotten a little bit off. Started praying, and she had a vision. And the Lord gave her a vision of angels flying on either side, on either side of the plane, protecting the plane as we were going. And see, that's exactly what the Word says. Some people say, I don't believe in visions. Well, the Word says that anyway, so if you don't believe it, that's fine. But the Lord did show her that, and it brought her peace. And the devil isn't into bringing peace, is he? And so the peace that was being brought was by God, so I can just tell you it was of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. But that's the example of what I'm talking about. See, God's truth will always bring us to that place of peace and that place of rest. Let us fear lest we don't enter into it. If we're not into it, in other words, we know that we got to get it right. When it says let us fear, it's not let's be in perpetual fear. No. Get it right fast. It's just like, if all of a sudden you started a fire, if your backyard was dry and you started a fire in your backyard, you would start getting nervous real quick. You'd be nervous in the service, as we like to say. Praise the Lord. You'd be like, getting it taken care of. Let's do what we got to do. Amen. And you would do everything you could to get it taken care of. That's exactly what this is talking about. It is a good reaction that God has given us. Amen. And ability. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, we ain't get very far in Hebrews yet, but we're going to get there. Amen. Verse 2, it says, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them. Wow. Folks, we need to highlight that. We need to make note of that. Underline it in your Bible, circle, whatever you got to do. Put colors to it. Buy a neon sign and point it to Hebrews 4:2, just in case you didn't get there. You need to focus on what this is saying. The gospel was preached to us as well as to them, the Israelites, that did not work, that did not operate in faith. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Praise God. Glory to God. Now, the Lord showed me in this, there's two ways to hear, basically, that it's talking about here. So there's the first that you got to be present to hear. If you're not present, you're present, you don't hear. And so you can't mix faith if you don't have it. You know, you think about ingredients of a cake, amen. If you don't have sugar, the cake ain't going to be sweet. No matter what you do, you can make that cake, but if you don't put the sugar in, it won't be sweet. It won't be something you want. Sometimes it's eggs or whatever that won't hold it together. You need all the ingredients for a purpose, amen? Or if you don't use that ingredient, you need a substitute that is equal or close to equal to do the same job, amen? So the first thing is if you don't have the ingredient, you can't mix faith. And so the problem is people that resist, like coming together and hearing the word, what they're doing is they're leaving the ingredients. They're leaving the store without all the ingredients. Yeah. They're trying to go through life and build a cake, but they're leaving half the ingredients home. Yeah. And so they don't know what to do. And so that's one way to not hear. But the other way to not hear is much, much more subtle and happens all the time in a place where people do congregate. And that's they come in without an ear to hear. In other words, they hear the word that's preached, but they I don't know if it's really true or not. Well, I don't, this isn't really what I like, so I don't want to do this. Well, this is kind of different than what I want or what I think. Listen, the word that's being preached is to help you. But anytime, if you take an ingredient and you don't mix it in, you won't have the desired outcome. Again, if you take a cake, you take all the ingredients for a cake and you put it into a pan. Don't mix them up, but put them into a pan. Stick it in the oven. You did all the things except for mixing. You still aren't going to have a cake. You're not going to have anything that's worth anything. And so the same thing is with us. If we don't take the word that we hear, if we don't hear the word, we're in trouble. But if we don't take that word that we hear and then mix in faith with it, praise the Lord, we're leaving ingredients. But you cannot mix in faith if you don't have faith in you. And you don't have faith in you if the word of God isn't in you. This is why the word of God has got to be of utmost importance in our lives. We have to put a premium on the word of God. The word of God is the mixture that we need. That's the faith that we need to mix. If we want the promises of God, this is why Christians so often that pray, you know them, you've heard of them, Christians and denominations out there in the world that aren't taught real well. They're out there living and they go to God and they pray for something and then it doesn't happen. And so then they always say the same thing. It must not have been God's will. But we see according to the scripture, it's absolutely false. They're not mixing it with faith. The Bible tells us that when we come to God, we need to know that He is a rewarder. That we need to know that it is not enough to say that He is. You need to know it. It is not good enough to say that God is a rewarder. You must know that God is a rewarder. God is a rewarder. So when you go to pray, if you want an answer from God, you will not get it if you don't believe that He's going to answer you. If you don't believe that He's not going to answer you favorably, you will not get your answer. Why? Because it is not mixed with faith. Faith is the assurance. It is the title deed. It is the promise. It is the absolute surety that everything God said He would do, He would do. And God said, if any of you lacks wisdom, to ask Him, because He gives it liberally. It means He just pours it out. He'll give you so much wisdom that you won't know what to do with it, praise the Lord. But He pours it out liberally. But it says, let that man ask in faith, because he who asks not from faith is double-minded, unstable in all his ways. And that's what 90% of the church is. I don't know if it's really 90%, but a high percentage of the church is unstable because they are double-minded. They go to God, well, Lord, if it's your will, and they don't know what God's will, his word is his will. Go to God knowing what his will is. Lord, it's your will that this gets fixed. And so, Lord, I trust you. And you start stirring those things up. See, we have to attack back at the attack the way the Bible has given us to attack. But the way most people come against, the way most people react to an attack is they lay down and cry. They start complaining. I love my brother Michael today. I was out there talking and I made a joke about the weather. You know, and he wasn't correcting me because I wasn't complaining about the weather because I generally try not to. Every once in a while, I'll let it slip. But he said, you know, I never understood that. You know, he's talking about people in general. He said, I never understood people that complain about the weather. And I'm like, you're right, because they ain't got no choice. I mean, you can complain about the weather all day long, but it isn't going to stop it from raining. Yesterday was sunshiny. I love on Saturday afternoons when it's sunshiny. And I'm saying that sarcastically. I don't love it because all it makes me want to do is go out there and be in the sunshine. But all I do is I try to stay focused on the word and the messages I have to preach this weekend. Even if I've already got the messages, I still try to stay focused on those things so I don't go out and just do whatever I want to do. It seems like in the summertime, every Saturday is sunshiny. It just seems that way, praise the Lord. And then Sunday afternoon, oh, there's rain clouds. But what good is it going to do to complain about? It ain't going to do me any good. Praise the Lord. It will not do us any good to complain about these things. Just as you, it won't do any good to complain about what you're going through. You can sit there and complain about it, but complaint is a lack of faith. Complaint is saying, well, I don't have faith that my life can be good because of this. That's what it is. So a complaint is faith in the wrong way. And so, listen, we're all given to want to complain. I'm not saying I'm perfect at it all the time because I'm certainly not. Praise the Lord. But it's something I work on. And that's the difference, is recognizing it and working on it. You don't have to be perfect. You recognize the truth, and then you work at it. And if you're having a particularly hard time with a certain truth, you put it before the Father. And you say, Father, I know that I need to correct this, but this is something that I'm having a hard time with. Praise the Lord. Listen, God's word is not meant to bash us. It's meant to correct us and to help us. And so, but if we're like those spoiled kids that get correction and don't take it, that we get mad because we've been corrected. Listen, if you get corrected, you're getting corrected for a reason. If you need corrected, you need corrected. If you're doing something wrong, then get it right. Don't complain about it. Don't get mad about it. It's stupid to do that. But that's how so many people react. That's how so many people in the world react. You know, somebody's speeding down the road. They get pulled over. Cop walks up to the car, and they get mad at the cop. He wasn't the one speeding. Now, listen, I think that some of the laws can be ridiculous, too, at sometimes. I think that if, you know, if I can go 70, there's no reason I can't go 75. If I can go 65, there's no reason I can't go 70. That's the way I look at it. But listen, if I'm going to press the envelope, then I can't get mad if I get pulled over. I can't shout at the cop like it's his fault. But you know how many people do that? So many people have gotten mad at me because they, I have literally had people mad at me because they act stupid and then they come to me and I'm like, what do you want me to do? I can't fix it. You know what I mean? And I'm not going to. Praise the Lord. If you won't tithe and don't give, don't come to me about your financial issues. I'm just saying. I don't know whether people are or not, but if you come to me with a financial issue, the first question I'm going to ask you is, do you tithe and do you give? Because if you don't, then you have no business asking me. I have no way of helping you. Praise the Lord. If you won't live right when you go out there, then don't come in here and say, why isn't God this working for me? My prayers aren't working. Why is this falling apart? Why is this? Why? If you won't live right, if you choose wrong, it's not my fault. Now, I can help work you through it to get you on a better path, but don't get mad at me is what I'm saying. I have literally had people sit in my office and be mad at me for what they did. Praise the Lord. It's not my fault. I didn't do it. All I'm doing is preaching the truth, preaching the word, trying to lead you in the right direction. Amen. Glory to God. But this is a human condition. I am not saying I've gotten mad at my pastor. And then I saw that he was right. I got mad at Pastor Michael before. And then I saw that he was right. And so what did I do? I got it right because I have a heart that wants to be right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I don't know if they knew that I was mad at them because I wouldn't do that, but well, praise God. Hallelujah. So there's two ways to hear. If you don't know God's will, his word, you cannot be in faith. You cannot mix anything because you are missing ingredients. Amen? Praise the Lord. A lot of times, the best way to react is you look at the word, you see the word, see something, you say, Lord, I believe you in this, and so this is what I'm going to do. and this is how I'm going to react to it. Amen. Sometimes I go to God, Lord, this is what I believe is true. This is what I see as the truth. When I say that, I don't mean this is my version of it, but this is, you know, this is where I believe the truth is for my life. And so I'm going to go this way. Stop me if I'm wrong. I pray that prayer often. Amen. Praise the Lord. But following God isn't hard. Glory to God. Well, anyways, for we who have believed do enter that rest. Now, this stood out to me this week when I was putting this message together because of this right here. For we who have believed do enter. It says do enter. Listen, that doesn't mean you're going to enter. It means we do enter. I said it means we do enter. So if you're not in rest, you're not entering. And you're not entering for one of a few reasons. One, because you're not in faith, or two, because you got in faith and you're not entering. See, when I say do enter, I mean like this. If you're going to walk into this church, you can have access to this church, but stand outside the door and not open it. You have to open the door and go through. I said you have to enter. You have to do enter. Amen? If you don't do enter, you won't therefore enter. You won't be in. Amen? You won't do in because you didn't do enter. Amen? Do is an action word. An action word, amen. It tells us to do something. We know do. And so if you are in a place of how do you do this? Well, the first place you go is, all right, Lord, I know that this is wrong, or I see this, it's not right. So now I'm going to, by faith, enter into what's right. Praise the Lord. You start by saying that. You start by praying that. You say, okay, wait a minute, this isn't right. My wife and I tell you, this is how a lot of times if we have a disagreement, some intense fellowship, this is how we end it. He says, well, okay, this is what we're going to do. Because we know that if we continue, we don't agree on this. There's been a few times where things we just couldn't get to an agreement on. Yeah, so what do you do in the times where you just can't agree? We're going to do what's right, and that's the higher road. We're going to prefer one another. We're going to step up and do what the Bible tells us to do. We're going to do enter. Amen. That's what we're going to do. We're going to do it. We're going to enter. We're going to do it. We're going to choose to do it. This is how you get past trial with another Christian. Praise the Lord. Other Christians, if you have a beef with another Christian, how do you get past it? You both decide to do enter. You both decide we're going in. Listen, this is how we're going to do it. I'm going to prefer you. You're going to prefer me. What if that other person doesn't want to do it? You still can. Praise the Lord. You can still do what's right. So the people who choose to enter are the ones who will enter. And so you just say, listen, if you have to stand up, maybe you have no one else around you, just the devil who's been attacking you, and you have to sit there and say, devil, you can't have this in my life. You can't have my marriage, so I'm not giving it to you. What if your spouse doesn't want to hear it? Well, how about spouses? Instead of complaining about your spouse, how about doing that? How about saying, hey, devil, you can't have my marriage. It's not yours. So I'm going to do everything again. And if you have a believing spouse, you can even say to them, guess what? I'm not letting the devil have our marriage. I'm not doing it. What would happen in the middle of a fight if you did that? I'm sorry for anything I might have done that hurt you, but I am not letting the devil have our marriage. I tell you what, you can't have a brother or sister in the faith that could just turn to you and say, well, what? Well, you're gonna let them have our marriage? I ain't gonna let them have it. As much as it's up to me, I ain't gonna let them have it. I'm gonna do right. That's it. And you don't have to be cocky about it. I mean, be cocky of the devil, but you don't have to be cocky of your spouse. You say, I love you, and then you treat them the best that you've ever treated them before. I guarantee you it'll change. I guarantee it every single time. Every single time it'll change. My wife can stop me as mad as I could possibly be. My wife can stop me an instant with those same words, can't you? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It'll work. Glory to God, I promise you. Glory to God. If you just say, I'm done, I'm not doing it, I'm not giving it, you can keep going this way. My wife even said that to me once. You can keep going this way if you want, but I'm not. And then she was nice to me. But you don't understand. I'm not doing it. Yeah, praise the Lord. Guess what? She do enter. That's what she did. Yeah, praise the Lord. And so I do enter a little bit later. Amen. Why? Because I'm not going to be the one that's going to, it's not going to be my fault. You know what I mean? Amen? See, it's so easy, like when we get our head about ourselves. But this is why it's important to stay right in our thinking. Because when we stay right in our thinking, then we'll always go to the right place. We'll always choose the right thing. See, the reason I can always be corrected is because I stay right in my thinking. The reason I can stay right in my, you know, when I deal with my, I don't agree with everything my pastor says or does. Praise the Lord. I don't need to, because God hasn't put me in his life to direct him. God has put me in his life to bless him. God has put me in his life to support him. God has put me in his life to receive from him. But he has not put me in my in his life to direct him. Not everything I like that he does, but it doesn't matter. You know, oh, praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm not even going to tell you what I did recently. But there was a time recently when I disagreed with something. Not with him. We weren't in a fight or anything like that. But I didn't like something he did. And so when I got right about it, got my thinking right about it, my wife and I made a decision on how we were going to alleviate that issue. And that's exactly what we did. He knew what it was about and everything, but it was fine. But praise the Lord. You by doing something good, I'll just put it this, by doing something good, you can always squash something that was bad. Always. Because as much, see, the devil causes strife to try to get you out of rest, each person. But if one of the people won't be out of rest, then the devil's tactics are fruitless. That doesn't mean that the other person in the situation, maybe you have an unbelieving spouse, maybe you have an unbelieving friend or something like that, who's coming against you, or a family member, it's coming against you. And you say, you can even say, I said say it to a believing spouse, say it to an unbelieving spouse. I won't let the devil have this. Just see what they think. They can think you're crazy. That's all right. I'm not going to let. And then you be nice. Oh, that'll really set them off. What are they going to do? See, that's the thing. If a Christian acts right, there's never an excuse. See, you just won't let it be that way. Now, listen, there are times, I am not saying that a person lives in abuse or anything like that. Obviously, I'm not saying that. If somebody's abusing you, you need to get out. You need to get out quick. There's abuse in many forms. It's not just a physical abuse. There can be mental abuse. There can be sexual abuse. There can be all kinds of different kinds of spiritual, or not really spiritual. Well, yeah, I guess there can be spiritual manipulation and stuff like that. But, you know, there can be all kinds of abuse. If you feel abused and it's taken from you, you can get out. I'm not suggesting that you stay around that. But otherwise, you just listen, if you have hope for it, if you want hope for it, then what you do is you stand up and you take a stand against the devil. You say, you can't have this. Praise the Lord. You can't have it. You know, the devil, he may be able to take your job at some point, but he can't take your peace if you don't let it. See, that's the thing. Peace is what gets us through, because we're never guaranteed anything in this life. As far as going through this life, you're not woke up, you're guaranteed that you'll be President Trump's son, so you'll have billions or millions of dollars, or Bill Gates' child, or anything like that. You're not guaranteed that you're going to live or grow anywhere. But you can guarantee this, that you can follow God and be at peace every day of your life. Absolutely, because that's exactly what Jesus did. That's exactly what Jesus did. He lived in peace. He lived in peace. He lived in peace. And when he didn't live in peace, when he didn't have peace, he went to the Lord and sought the Lord, which we see in the Garden of Gethsemane. Praise the Lord. And in the end of it, we see him get into perfect peace right before he went to the cross. Why? Because he did what the Word says to do. Amen. Praise the Lord.